fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Steely Dan getting us underway today on Route 51 as we preview the first International Wisconsin Ginseng Festival and look at the market ginseng from Marathon County has created in China and other parts of Asia and throughout the world. I'm Glenn Mobrig. The Ginseng Festival takes place 2 weekends from now on September 15th, 16th, and 17th in downtown Wausau and a variety of other locations around Marathon County. Marathon County is the center of the U.S. ginseng industry. 95% of the ginseng root exported from the United States comes from central Wisconsin, and our local ginseng is widely accepted as the highest quality ginseng in the world. We have in our studio today Kirk Bauman, president of Bauman Wisconsin Ginseng and a former member of the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin, Will Sue, vice president of operations of Sue's Ginseng Enterprises, and Lisa Berry, sales director of the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau and the lead organizer of the Ginseng Festival. As always, we want to hear from you. Do you use ginseng? What has been your experiences with it if you do use it? What do you think of its impact on the local economy? And do you plan to go to the festival? If you have a question or a comment for our guests, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742, or you can put something on our Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. Kirk Bauman, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about Bauman Wisconsin Ginseng.
Well, Bauman Farms was established in 1978 when we first started growing ginseng, very small way. Had an aunt and uncle, so it was a relation with relations. And we did that for about 4 years. Finally, the travel was a little bit much, so we both went our own ways. And we used to be what we call weekend warriors. So We used to raise it on the weekends, spray it in the evenings, and work during the week.
What made you get into the business back in the 1970s?
Well, we used to be a little bit unique. We used to raise chickens for eggs. We had egg layers. We had 22,000 birds, and eventually times started getting a little harder, and we had good friends that were in the ginseng industry for many years, and they said, well, why don't you, you know, get in ginseng, and we'll give you a little hand on how to grow it and set it up and plant it.
It's a tough crop to grow. How was there a learning curve there?
Oh, very much so. We started out with actually reasonable gardens. Then we started getting on different soil types, and we had a few disease problems, and our yields would go down. But
practice makes perfect.
It does. It definitely does, and we got better chemistry for plant protectants right now, and things are definitely better for the whole industry.
Now, you're also a former member of the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin. Tell us a little bit about that organization and what you try to do.
Well, the Ginseng Board is a marketing order, same as the milk, beans and corn and all that. You know, they pay a little stipend to support raising the crop or chemistry to raise the crop efficiently and marketing. And so that's kind of what the Ginseng Board does. And started on that back around 2002, I believe. And then just got off last February.
Well, we'll get into that in a little more detail a little bit later in the show. Will, we understand you just got back from an international trip, and we really appreciate you being here despite the jet lag that I'm sure you're suffering. How long were you in the air getting back from Hong Kong and China?
Total trip took about 17 or 18 hours.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. International travel is part of the business.
Yep. Over 90% of the ginseng grown here gets exported to Asia, and so this is one of the ways that we market it directly.
Tell us about Sioux Ginseng Enterprises. We understand that your father, Paul Sioux, also started your business back in the 1970s.
Yep. My dad started in 1974. He started on the retailing side, buying ginseng from local farmers, trimming, processing, and selling to primarily Taiwanese and Chinese Americans who had just started immigrating to the U.S.
Now, how has the ginseng business taken off in Wisconsin since the 1970s? You both have experience, you know, from that point onward.
Yeah, ginseng has seen its ups and downs over the last 40 years. It is a cyclical product primarily because of the longer growing cycle. It takes 4 to 5 years typically to reach maturity from seed. And so because of that, the ups tend to be a little bit longer and the downs tend to be a little bit deeper.
And Kirk, that must make it a challenge for farmers to try to survive.
Well, it makes it a challenge on how to predict the crop. You know, with Mother Nature out there and wet growing years like this year, we really don't know how that affects the crop until we start harvesting. What we see above ground is different than what happens underground. And so it is hard to predict. You know, what looks like could be a surplus one year is not a surplus. And it's an interesting industry.
Well, Lisa Berry, we understand this ginseng festival is your brainchild. So tell us how you came up with it and why you think it's important to do.
I guess I have some backgrounds in festival organization. And when I started working at the Convention and Visitors Bureau, I was working with, you know, Sioux's Ginseng does a lot of bus tours. And so I kept saying we should have a ginseng festival. It's so unique. People will want to learn about it. And I got a lot of encouragement there. And then I talked about it at some different events at the different ginseng growers that they had, and to Rebecca Clefish. And so at a luncheon for 1,300 people, our Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish announced that I was sitting on the very end, and she pointed down and she said, and she's going to have the first ever ginseng festival. And everybody looked down at me, and then my boss said, you better get to work. And it's been a lot of fun.
How much work has gone into it? I've looked at your brochure. There's a lot going on that weekend.
There's a lot going on. It's spread out through the whole county. It's a complete community collaboration, which is the great thing. So many people in Marathon Island County are very thankful for our ginseng producers, and they wanted to jump on board and support the festival with their attractions that they have to offer and you know, jump on board. We've had so many people helping, so it's a great.
And again, that's September 15th, 16th, and 17th.
Yes.
And a lot of it is going on in downtown Wausau on the 400 block. Tell us what's happening there.
The 400 block will be kind of the hub of the festival, where we'll have nonstop entertainment. Bauman Wisconsin Ginseng is our main stage sponsor. We have nonstop entertainment with professional talent up there as MCs. Sioux's Ginseng Enterprise is our root level sponsorship, which enabled us to make everything happen on the 400 block that you have to do for a festival. And we'll have volunteers out there, and we're going to have all kinds of really cool food and beverage vendors, and they're offering a ginseng food like cheese curds of Wisconsin, a ginseng cheese curd, and then their local favorite, the almond tree, the kettle corn. Twigs Beverage made us a special all-Wisconsin ginseng cran cherry soda that the Noon Optimists will be selling. And so it's really neat. It's, you know, foodie heaven down there to try different food and beverage, coffee. All three local craft breweries are making a ginseng beer.
That's Bull Falls Brewery, the Great Dane, and Red Eye,
yes,
right?
All three of them are, and so is the Little Old Winemaker. And so it's really important to us, too, since this is such our unique niche, being the ginseng capital, that everything be local. And so we're using, you know, all local food and beverage attractions.
And Will Sioux, we understand you'll be selling Sioux's ginseng ice cream. Tell us about that.
Yeah, actually, it's a free ice cream that we're distributing a small sample cone to every attendee that's attending, hopefully as long as supplies last. We'll see. We kind of based it based on the expected number, but if we get good turnout. I think Travis Teska, who is a local culinary arts and chef, he is actually making the ginseng ice cream using fresh ginseng and milk.
What does it taste like? I guess the answer is ginseng, but
so I've had it before. He did it for our 40th anniversary celebration in 2014. It was a pretty big hit, but because of the – it was a private event that he was doing it for, not a whole lot of people got to taste it. So when Lisa was kind of brainstorming some additional ideas of foods and items that we could have representing ginseng in the industry, she thought it was a natural pairing to pair the dairy industry with ginseng. And it's a very approachable type of product.
And Kirk, your company and the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin will also have booths downtown.
Yeah, we do. We're on the main stage there. We're happy to and honored that we were able to support that. And it helps us along with our branding operation now. We used to be just a grower that sold wholesale rut, and now we're out trying to create a brand and start marketing our own brand.
And live music going on all 3 days. And Will, at your booth, at the Sue's Ginseng booth, you'll be displaying the Guinness World Record largest cultivated American ginseng root. Yep. Tell us about that.
So there is a Guinness World Record ginseng root that was grown by actually a grower out in Washington State. He bought the seeds originally from my dad back in the 90s. And when he dug up the root, he had it certified by Guinness as the largest Panax quinquefolius, which is the species root in the world. And after he passed away, his wife contacted us and said that her husband had hoped to return the root back to Wisconsin and back to my dad. And so we flew her out, and she came out with the root, and we've tried to preserve it to the best we can. That root was originally dug out in 97, so this is actually, I think, 20 years after that Guinness World Record.
And there's activity going on outside of the 400 block. On your farm, people can actually dig their own ginseng roots.
Yep. We have one garden that we've set aside. It will be five-year-old roots that were planted 5 years ago, and we will be allowing individuals to dig that afternoon, I think Saturday afternoon, and they'll be able to dig one root themselves and take it home with them.
And Lisa, you've got shuttle buses going out to Sue's farm and also Joe Heil's farm in Edgar, where people will also be able to do that.
They can dig their own, dig it, keep it.
Now, the Marathon County Historical Society Museum, the Lee Aukey Woodson Art Museum, and the Wausau's Children Museum in the mall will all have ginseng-related exhibits.
They will. The Woodson Art Museum went after some ginseng art and did a great job, and they'll have that exhibit going on. The Historical Society is expanding their exhibit of the history of ginseng in Marathon County. We'll also have a historical reenactment out at Fromm Farm from noon to 4, running every 15 minutes in groups that lasts about an hour per group.
And Fromm Farm is up in Hamburg, so it's a little bit of a drive, but not too bad. And you'll have shuttle buses going there, too.
Yes, the shuttle buses. Praying Dental was kind enough to let us use their parking lot for the shuttle buses, and we'll have them going to all different locations around the county.
And other things that are going on, you've got the Center for Visual Arts, which will display the entries for the Ginseng Festival poster contest.
Yes, they did a great job of running. We wanted to use local artists, and so we had a contest for the official festival poster, and we have selected that already. We'll announce it soon.
I'm looking at it right now. It's beautiful.
You got to keep it quiet yet, because we still want people to go in there. They have a wonderful exhibit. They had 25 entries, and you can go in and you can vote for the People's Choice. And it's just amazing, all the local art. And we will be selling the official festival poster, and the winner will be able to autograph them.
You've got an exhibit of photography of Wisconsin ginseng country at the Jefferson Street Inn, and then cooking with ginseng demonstrations at the Robert W. Monk Gardens.
Oh, that's going to be really neat. As you know, they have a beautiful outdoor brick kitchen and pizza oven, and we are going to have five local chefs out there that are going to be cooking a dish with ginseng and providing samples and showing how you can actually, you know, grow ginseng and cook what you grow and eat it.
And then in the city of Marathon, the first ever Root Run 5K takes place on Saturday morning.
We do. We've got the Root Run 5K. Again, we want to stress that health benefits of ginseng. And Michael Chang, he is the youngest tennis player to ever win the Grand Slam. And he's the spokesperson for Prince of Peace, one of the distributors of ginseng. He's going to be there giving them the motivational send-off to the runners.
You've got Rib Mountain involved, the granite Peak ski area will have their chairlifts going so we can see the early fall colors.
We do. They've been wonderful. They're going to run free chairlift rides for festival goers. If you have your program, you can go on a chairlift ride and see the fall colors from 10 to 2 on Saturday.
And you also have something, it's just amazing going through this list, a route route, yeah, a guide to restaurants and other businesses that are selling ginseng-infused food and drink.
Isn't that wonderful? You know, we wanted to showcase our county and all that we have to offer, and so many other, you know, restaurants and shops wanted to jump on board and are willing to, you know, offer to stop by, like the 2510 or the Mint, Polito's, Basil, Sweet Lola's, Paisley Mug, Nicole's Boutique, just several of them want to offer something. As people are moving around the county, we're hoping for a nice flow, and they can know that they can stop places and have a ginseng dish.
You've got the whole community involved in this. I want to talk about the Fromm Brothers a little bit more. And incidentally, Yankee Books will be showing a film on the history of the Fromm Brothers farm in Hamburg, which is where ginseng cultivation got its start back in the late 1800s.
Yes, Jane Yonke got her hands on the original historical films, and she's going to be showing those from 9 to 5 on Saturday. Plus, she also sells the book Bright with Silver, which is the history of Fromm Farmer.
Now, this was a group of farmers in Hamburg, which was really rural back in the late 1800s, and they pioneered the breeding of silver foxes, which became a huge business in its own right. Their fox furs were featured in the 1930, can't remember what year it was, in the World's Fair in Chicago back in the 30s. But they also pioneered the modern cultivation of ginseng. Will, you're nodding your head. Tell me about that.
Three brothers who wanted to get actually into the fur business but transplanted from wild roots the original plants that were probably the start of the cultivation of the species here in central Wisconsin. And they used the funds from cultivating ginseng to help invest into farming mink and eventually silver and breeding silver fox.
Well, Wisconsin ginseng grows naturally as a root in our heavily shaded forests, mm-hmm. but it's difficult to cultivate it. So they had to figure everything out pretty much from scratch with trial and error.
Yep, starting with forest cultivation and then eventually creating the industry under quote-unquote artificial shade. So they would use wood lath, and you can still see some of the original type of wood lath structures. Some farmers still use them, and they constructed that shade in order to keep the plant alive because it does require at least 70 to 80% shade, similar to what you would find on the forest floor.
And for those who are new to central Wisconsin, I remember when I first moved up here, that was my first thought, what are these strange farm fields with these wooden posts and the shading? Those are ginseng farms, and you need the shade in order to cultivate the roots.
Yep. Most of the large-scale farmers here have since moved to black shade cloth because it's a little bit easier to maintain and upkeep. But wood lath was the original way to farm. We've started our farms originally with those types of shade structures as well and have since migrated to black fabric. So you'll see both still here in central Wisconsin.
You'll be harvesting the roots in October and the berries in September. Kirk Bauman, what are the berries used for?
Well, the berries are what you harvest to gather your seed out of for the next summer's planting, which then doesn't – the seed is still maturing and will grow the following year.
So you see, people don't actually eat the berries, or it's just for seed for the root crop for years to come?
Just the seed for the root crop. In Korea, South Korea, they do use the berry extract in value-added products over there.
Okay. And how do you process the roots after the October harvest?
Well, the roots are first harvested mechanically with old potato diggers, which just separate the dirt from the roots and lay the roots on the ground, which are then typically hand-picked up and put into containers. Then they're taken to a cooler, stored in the cooler for 2 to 3 weeks, and then they're washed and dried.
When did people first realize ginseng's medicinal qualities in Wisconsin? Anybody have an answer for that?
Ginseng has been used traditionally by Chinese people for Wow, probably close to 2,000 years.
I read 5,000 years.
Yeah, written history is over 2,000, I think, close to, you're talking Han Dynasty, if not earlier, when the first records started coming out about the medicinal use. That was of the Asian species Panax C.A. Meyer, or Panax ginseng. They didn't discover the North American version until 1717.
So we've got two different kinds of ginseng, the Chinese or Oriental and the American ginseng.
Correct.
And they're related, but they're both different species.
Yes. We like to use the term yin and yang, which if you're familiar with that symbol, talk about balance. Chinese traditional medicine tries to encourage that balance when you're using all products. And so American ginseng is yin or cooling. It's a tonic. Asian ginseng is yang. It's heating, stimulating. And so folks that are of a certain nature will require one or the other based on what's prescribed to them.
And Wisconsin ginseng contains a high level of ginsenoside. Am I pronouncing that right?
Correct.
That's the active ingredient. What exactly is that and what does it do?
It's one of those things where it's hard to describe because Western medicine wants to look at one specific type of ingredient. Ginsenosides, there are measured probably within, normal scientific context, 7 to 9 that we're measuring actively, but there's over 30 different types of ginsenosides that you can find in ginseng, and as well as other parts of the plant, stem, leaf, even the seeds have ginsenosides in them.
And here's a softball question for our two growers. Why is the ginseng grown in central Wisconsin better than the ginseng grown in China or other places? Kirk?
Well, first of all, traditionally it was first brought out here. So we got very great name recognition in China. It's naturally occurring here, pretty much from the Mississippi to the east, and then up in climates where the ground does freeze. But this is native here, so the soil conditions are right with the glaciated soil, the minerals. We get the best flavor out of our ginseng from this area.
Is it possible to take a Wisconsin ginseng plant and move it to another location with the same results?
Well, it depends on soil type. I would think the root would change if it's in a different soil type very long. So typically, if you're transplanting, within the area near the here,
I can give you two examples of why, Wisconsin, I think, is better known for it. One, if you're a wine drinker, you're familiar with the term terroir. Terroir is, talking about the climate, the soil, the rainfall, the taste characteristics, the techniques that you use in winemaking. Same thing holds true for ginseng. And the funny thing is you're talking about a root. So you're actually talking about the soil taste that you get when you eat or chew or cook with the root. Versus wine, where you're talking about a fruit, which isn't exactly the same and doesn't absorb all of the soil characteristics that a root will. I think the second thing you can look at is there used to be a very large ginseng industry in the Vancouver and British Columbia area in the 90s. That was one of the first regions where Canadian ginseng was grown. That industry took off immediately and crashed immediately because Chinese consumers didn't like the taste and the flavor of the root. And so now most of the ginseng grown in Canada is actually grown in Ontario, and there are very few, probably less than half a dozen growers, still growing ginseng in Vancouver and the British Columbia area.
And it's a big economic impact here in central Wisconsin. Just huge.
Traditionally, it was back when we were raising 2 million pounds and at our peak, and with the pricing then maybe of around 50, that brought $100 million into central Wisconsin area.
And how much are we raising now?
We're down quite a bit. We used to have 1,400 growers. We're down to at a low as 150. We're currently maybe 180. So we're raising, let's just say, 800,000 pounds, and the price range right now is maybe 35. So, the pricing is quite a bit less.
But still 95% of the ginseng exported from the U.S. has grown right here in central Wisconsin. We're talking with Kirk Bauman of Bauman Wisconsin Ginseng, Will Sue of Zeus Ginseng Enterprises, and Lisa Berry of the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau about the first International Wisconsin Ginseng Festival. Again, that takes place in Wausau the weekend of September 15th. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742, or put a question or comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. Here's a song from 1930 called the Ginseng Blues by a group called the Kentucky Ramblers.
Ain't gonna dig no ginseng, ain't gonna hunt no fruit, ain't gonna do a doggone thing but love a dear sweet mama. Oh, you baby mama, when you say come and love me mama, I'm telling you all the time.
Support for WPR comes from Hotel Metro, an Art Deco-inspired 63-room boutique hotel in the heart of walk-friendly downtown Milwaukee. Walking distance to museums, performing arts, and fine dining. HotelMetro.com. Support also comes from the International Wisconsin Ginseng Festival, September 15th through the 17th in Wausau, hosted by the Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau. Event schedule is at WisconsinGinsengFestival.com.
You gotta dig your roof before the sun goes down. Show some love back to your hometown. Fall in love, plant some seeds, call some names in the family tree. Raise your kids, love your wife. Put God first just to live your life. Yeah, I think I'm gonna go and get a little more dirt on my boots. You gotta dig your roots.
Dig your roots. Music by the Florida Georgia Line, taking us into our next segment of Route 51. We are spelling Route 51, R-O-O-T, today as we discuss the first International Wisconsin Ginseng Festival with Kirk Bauman of Bauman Enterprises, Will Sue of Sue's Ginseng Enterprises, and Lisa Berry of the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau. Festival takes place in Wausau the weekend of September 15th. I'm Glenn Moberg, 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. Just got a comment from John from Wausau on Facebook. He wants to know if you can grow ginseng organically.
There are a lot of people say that you can grow it organically, but I guess if you take some seeds and go plant them out in the woods and not maintain it, that would be organic ginseng. But in a heavily congregated area that we raise our ginseng in, it's not really possible.
Let's talk in more detail about the health benefits of ginseng products. The Mayo Clinic and the North Central Cancer Treatment Group did a study showing that the use of ginseng helped increase the energy level of cancer patients. And there was also another study by Vanderbilt University in Tennessee that showed improved quality of life scores with ginseng use after cancer diagnosis. Either of our growers care to comment on the health benefits?
Well, I can comment a little bit with the Mayo Clinic. That study was done by Dr. Deb Barton, I believe. And I think she might be attending the festival. Oh, she can't. Okay. But they did a study at Mayo Clinic, and this is related to cancer fatigue in treatment of breast cancer with chemotherapy. And the study came out with the patients that did get the ginseng in combination with the chemo and throughout, their fatigue was greatly reduced. And at the end of that study, they had to give it to all the other cancer patients so they could see the benefits also.
Now, another study published in Diabetes Care indicated an improvement in blood sugar level for diabetes patients. And according to a post on the Ginseng Board website, there is some evidence that ginseng also helps guard against the common cold. There was a study done with people who were given ginseng and others who were given a placebo, and the people who were given ginseng still got colds, but they got fewer of them. And Will, this is something that, as you said, has been known in traditional Chinese medicine for many years.
Yeah, you're citing two or three studies that are more recent in Western medicine. Eastern medicine has been doing research on ginseng for hundreds of years. And these are all things that Asians have been using ginseng for these reasons during that time span. So it's always the anecdotal versus scientific evidence.
7 years ago, back in 2010, I was assigned by National Public Radio to do a story on the ginseng harvest in Marathon County. It's a story that was heard nationwide on NPR affiliates. We'd just come off of a brutal winter that dumped more than a foot of wet snow on the local ginseng crop, followed by heavy rains. The story also details the importance of the international relationship with China. It features Joe Heil, who's a farmer in Edgar. Also, Will, your father, Paul Sue, is in the story, and Butch Wiege, who at the time was serving on the ginseng board, and he's now working for Kirk Bauman. So here's the story that ran in 2010. Let's listen to it and then talk about it afterwards. It was about a century ago that a few farmers in Marathon County, Wisconsin, figured out just how to cultivate the unique North American strain of ginseng, which grows naturally in the deep shade of Wisconsin's old-growth forests. They planted their crops under canopies and grew the sensitive roots in mounds to keep them dry. This is a hard crop to grow. It takes 4 years for ginseng plants to mature, and once they're harvested, the land can never be used for it again. Grower Joe Heil is the president of the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin. He says nobody knows exactly why that is.
I personally believe it leaves something in the soil that ginseng will not grow in that same ground again. Even 100 years later, you cannot replant on that same ground.
So every 4 years, farmers here have to pick up and haul the canopies to new fields.
It's a lot of sweat. It's a lot of blisters. Your back hurts at night. It's not a walk in the park.
I'm standing in Joe Heil's ginseng field looking at row after row of thick wooden poles supporting the heavy tarps that provide the canopy, the shade, that these delicate plants need to survive. Ginseng growers are used to rough central Wisconsin weather, but Joe Heil wasn't prepared this past May for a storm that dropped a foot of heavy wet snow on these fields and brought the tarps and the poles crashing down.
Everything was on the ground. Our posts were all snapped off. The plants were all decrepit and all rolled up because they were freezing, and we had a big mess.
At least 30% of the crop was destroyed by the freak snow, and then heavy summer rains swamped many of the surviving roots with fungal diseases. But the crop disaster had a silver lining for anyone with surviving ginseng. What was once about $20 a pound now sells for more than $50 a pound, the highest price in decades. In Joe Heil's farm shed near the village of Edgar, raw ginseng roots are soaked in a tumbler, loaded onto a conveyor, and dropped onto wooden drying racks. Heil is entertaining two important guests today. Paul Sue from nearby Wausau is one of the biggest ginseng growers in America. He's speaking Chinese with a slender young man wearing a blue windbreaker and neatly pressed slacks. Jackie Chang has traveled here from Beijing to buy what he says is the world's best ginseng.
The ginseng is grown in North America, especially in Wisconsin. That's the best quality we could find in the world.
Butch Wiege of the Ginseng Board says Chang's company, Tong Ren Tang, is the biggest and oldest ginseng firm in China.
Tong Ren Tang has been in the business of providing traditional Chinese medicine herbal products to the royalty in China going back to 1649.
And Wiege says this season marks another first for farmers here, selling their crop directly to mainland wholesalers.
Vast majority of our crop historically for 100 years has always gone to Hong Kong. Free port, no duties, no taxes. But this is the first time we've had a mainland China relationship.
This small group of farmers predicts sales this season could top $30 million. The relationship represents a new opportunity for these Wisconsin growers. Direct access to a huge market that's been using ginseng for 5,000 years. For NPR News, I'm Glenn Moberg in Edgar, Wisconsin. And again, that story ran on National Public Radio in 2010. Joe Heil is still a member of the Ginseng Board, but no longer the president. Butch Wiege now working for Kirk Bauman. Kirk, that snowstorm back in May, followed by the torrential rains, how much did that set the industry back 7 years ago?
Well, it really didn't set the – well, it did set the industry back in all the work that it took to put everything back up. But like the story said – we had a great increase in money, and that price per pound carried on for many years. So we had several years of very favorable pricing, and production has gone up. More acres are being planted around the world, though, and you know, now we're probably on the downside a little bit. Hopefully we can maintain it, you know, somewhere in the 30s, and it'd still be a very profitable proposition for the farmers.
And will the story featured your father, Paul, talking with Chinese traders. Are we going to see that again in October, Chinese traders coming to central Wisconsin to view the crop?
Some of them will actually be here in September for the festival. So we've invited a couple of our customers that have been more recently directly importing to China or to Hong Kong and even Taiwan that are coming for the festival.
So it really will be an international festival. We'll have traders there.
We're trying our best.
And if folks just tuned in, we talked about this earlier, you just got back from a long trip, an 18-hour plane trip from Hong Kong and China. What were you doing over there?
So we were over there looking into the markets to get a feel for how this fall is going to be, get a gauge of Chinese domestic production as well as the response to the recent pricing for Canadian and Wisconsin roots, as well as get an idea of how to open the market for wild ginseng, which starts tomorrow.
And the story also mentioned Tong Ren Tang, the giant Chinese pharmaceutical company, which was founded back in the 1600s. Are they still the most significant player on the international scene when it comes to ginseng purposes?
In the China market, they are probably the largest still and one of the larger importers of all types of ginseng, both Wisconsin and Canadian.
Lisa Berry, as somebody who is involved with economic development and marketing, What do you think of what it takes to grow ginseng and then also to cultivate it and then harvest it and produce it every year? It's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it?
It's very mind-boggling, and it's a lot of hard work. It's very mind-boggling. I've been to several fields and see what they do, and it's like I said, it's a lot of work, but they do bring a great economic impact to the area. For one thing, when the ginseng producers are doing well, everyone's doing well. They're buying trucks and building things and going out to eat and hiring people. And I don't think people realize, but at any given time, they have so many international people over here buying the ginseng. I know different businesses have told me, for instance, Harley Davidson said they'll come in there in a huge group and buy, buy, buy. And so I think the local businesses really appreciate, and the hotels, the constant business that they bring in.
And that's kind of unique for Wausau in Wisconsin as a whole. I mean, we're a relatively small metropolitan area, and to have this international trade going on in the middle of Wisconsin is really kind of unique.
It's really neat, and I would just want to mention another thing. Thanks to the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, they gave us a grant for permanent signage, and we were able to do that signage in bilingual, in English and Chinese. So all over there is going to be signs directing people in both languages and welcoming them, and we just hope, you know, that they can feel the excitement that we have to have them all here.
And Joe Heil indicated in the story that once a ginseng field has been used for ginseng, it can never be used again. Kirk Bauman, is that true?
They have done a little bit of replanting in Canada with limited success. It really hasn't been done here, or it's been tried a little bit with failures. Mm-hmm. So you pick up and you move on. It's cheaper than trying to clean the ground and replant there anyway.
Well, how can you as an industry survive? This is just a practical question. If you have to keep relocating your fields, it seems eventually you'll run out of places to plant.
Well, the total planting each year is less than a square mile, and there's probably thousands of square miles in Marathon County alone. You know, we're branched out to neighboring, adjoining counties for the most part, but in history, it has been planted in every county in Wisconsin.
But what happens to the old fields? Do they use them for corn or soybeans or something else?
They're typically well fertilized, so we maximize production in the fields. And every other crop does wonderful there when we're done.
Is there any research, Will Sue, on why that's the case, that you can't use the fields over again? That maybe there's a nutrient mix or something that could be added to the soil so you could use the same field for more than one crop?
Well, I think Joe mentioned it in your earlier segment about his belief that it leaves something in the field. And part of the issue is that the diseases that attack ginseng, primarily funguses, are specific a lot of times to the Panax genus. And since they're specific to the Panax genus, when you replant there, they attack that species again. And it doesn't matter if you plant other things there because the diseases are not specific to those things like corn and soybeans. And so part of that is the disease pressure that you will face because it's a multi-year crop. If you're only there for a year, probably wouldn't be an issue. But because you're there for 3 or 4 years, that second cycle, by year three, year four, the yields are dramatically lower.
You know, if you're a home gardener and you grow tomatoes, you face the same thing with blight. If you get blight 1 year, they advocate you planting tomatoes somewhere else because that blight will be in the soil again the following year. Maybe it's the same thing with ginseng.
I think it is the same thing.
We're talking with Will Sue of Sue's Ginseng Enterprises, Kirk Bauman of Bauman Wisconsin Ginseng, and Lisa Berry of the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau about the first International Wisconsin Ginseng Festival. Again, that takes place in Wausau the weekend of September 15th. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you've got questions about ginseng, or maybe you'd like to share your experiences with it if you're a user, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742, or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. Here's an old folk song called Ginseng Sullivan. It's about a guy who gathers wild ginseng in a toad sack, performed by Julian Lage and Chris Eldridge.
It's a long way to the Delta from the North Jordan Hills, and a toad sack full of ginseng won't pay no travel bills. Well, I'm too old to ride the rail and off on the road alone, but I guess I'll never make it back to home, my muddy water Mississippi Delta home.
Support for WPR comes from Hooper Corporation, supplying custom construction services, including electric power, mechanical, and green technology to commercial, industrial, and utility customers nationwide. Hooper Corporation, a Wisconsin company since 1913. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
That's a jazz composition called Ginseng Woman by Eric Gale, taking us into our next segment of Route 51 as we talk about the first International Wisconsin Ginseng Festival with Kirk Bauman of Bauman Wisconsin Ginseng, Will Sue of Sue's Ginseng Enterprises, and Lisa Berry of the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau. That festival takes place in Wausau the weekend of September 15th. I'm Glenn Moberg. The biggest story in Wisconsin right now is the controversial Foxconn development. Foxconn, a Taiwan-based manufacturer of high-tech products, has signed a memorandum of understanding with the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin to promote Wisconsin ginseng in Asia. Will Sue, does that bode well for Wisconsin ginseng?
I hope so. I mean, this is an international crop. We're almost completely dependent on exports. So with the large amount of Asian users, we definitely need to have a bigger presence in Taiwan and China.
How big of a threat is Canadian ginseng production to ginseng growers in Wisconsin? I'm looking at statistics from 2013 here. Canada was the largest exporter in the world, exporting 2.4 million kilograms with a value of $176 million. China was second, and the U.S. was third with 454,000 kilograms worth $91 million. Kirk, when did Canada overtake us?
Well, that happened in the probably mid-90s or so. Before that, we used to raise, let's say, 1 million pounds. Canada produced 500,000 pounds. Canadian government then started encouraging the tobacco farmers to get into ginseng, and they helped subsidize it and researched it and promoted it and got a lot of growers growing it. So then their production is ramped up tremendously.
And Canadian ginseng exports are skyrocketing. Ontario farmers have twice as much land now devoted to growing the root as they did in 2001. Is there any chance that we'll overtake them again? Or are just the numbers too hard for us to compete, Will?
I think it's too hard, given not only the scale, but also the fact that their yields are significantly higher there. Their yields are probably at least 25, if not in some cases 50% higher. They're grown at a more southern latitude. They're at 43 degrees north, more similar to Milwaukee, and that 2-degree difference extends the growing season. They also grow in sandier and loamier soil, so the disease pressure is less, which is why their yields are higher. And because of the ability to irrigate as well as that sandy soil combination, more well-drained, they have yields that are significantly higher than ours. So I think it's going to be tough to catch up with them, and China is coming on very strong.
Is there a significant difference between Wisconsin ginseng and Canadian ginseng?
Yes, and I think, you know, to our earlier point, not only the terroir, I mean, you talk about wine and the grapes, it's a Pinot Noir is grown in France, it's grown in the U.S., it's grown in Australia. There's a price difference, there's a taste difference, there's a consumer preference difference, and all these things speak volumes about why you want Wisconsin-grown American ginseng.
Is Canadian ginseng and Chinese ginseng still being passed off as Wisconsin ginseng? There was a recent survey, this is from the LA Times in February of 2015, at an Asian food expo in Southern California. The Ginseng Board of Wisconsin found that less than 12% of ginseng products labeled as Wisconsin ginseng actually came from Wisconsin.
And that is true. And it's very hard to police, though. The Ginseng Board has developed a fingerprinting method to identify the growing area. Hopefully in the future that can be employed to crack down on the counterfeiters that are out there.
Now, at one point, growers were pushing for a Ginseng Labeling Act to crack down on the problem. Was that actually passed and put into law?
Yes. There is a Country of Origin Labeling, or COOL, Act that was passed by the federal government under the Bush administration, and it has been signed into federal law. I think the difficulty is how do you enforce that, given the technology to fingerprint is really expensive.
And Wisconsin ginseng is labeled with a Wisconsin ginseng seal, so you can look for that, but I guess you can counterfeit it too.
Yeah, the counterfeiting isn't so bad on the ginseng seal anymore, but you know, that is only afforded to the people that are members of the SEAL program, and there it is policed, and that's where you know you're getting Wisconsin ginseng.
I think it really comes down to the retailer self-policing and really encouraging customers and educating customers rather than telling them it's from Wisconsin if it's not.
Now, both of you sell Wisconsin ginseng products, and I assume that if people buy it from your website, they can be assured that that's what they're getting.
If you're getting it from the grower community itself, you can be almost 100% assured that it is Wisconsin ginseng.
Lisa, that's certainly true.
That's certainly true.
And your brochure, Lisa, talks about, above all, it's the producers who have helped make this festival happen. They sponsored the festival. They donated ginseng to participating restaurants. They really got behind it.
They really 100% got behind it, and it's been a lot of fun getting to know all the different producers and seeing their excitement when they taste a product with ginseng in it, and doing, you know, the beer tastings and soda tastings, ice cream tastings, and I think it's just really neat to see, you know, things come full circle like that.
Do you think this festival will help get the word out about the quality of American ginseng generally and Wisconsin ginseng in particular?
I think so. From what I've heard, people are looking up ginseng. You know, they're Googling it. They're calling places. As well as our community attractions that we have told me that they're getting tons of phone calls from people asking them about the festival, about their attraction. It's getting people interested in Marathon County, in the ginseng, and everything we have to offer here.
Yeah, it's going to help the entire economy. Kirk Bauman, you getting a lot of response about the festival?
We are. Even internationally, a lot of the industry people over there know about the Ginseng Festival, so they're interested in it. And I think with the Chinese consumer and their Googling or Internet searches, it'll be a plus.
All right. We are completely out of time. Thank you so much for being with us today, all three of you.
Root rock reggae, just a reggae music. Root rock reggae, just a reggae music.
We want to thank today's guest, Kurt Bauman, president of Bauman Wisconsin Ginseng, Will Sue, Vice President of Operations of Sue's Ginseng Enterprises, and Lisa Berry, Sales Director of the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau. A reminder that the first International Wisconsin Ginseng Festival takes place the weekend of September 15th in downtown Wausau and other locations in Marathon County. You can find out more at visitwisconsin.com/Wisconsin Ginseng Festival, or you can check out the International Wisconsin Ginseng Festival Facebook page. You can also find out more about ginseng and the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin at ginsengboard.com. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Janice Schleiss. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by the Isley Brothers, Steely Dan, the Kentucky Ramblers, the Florida-Georgia Line, Julian Lage and Chris Eldridge, Eric Gale, and Bob Marley and the Wailers. Next week on Route 51, we talk to a group of former DNR scientists who have started their own organization, Green Fire, to spread the word about what's happening to Wisconsin's natural resources. If you missed part of the show, it's repeated Friday night at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau, and it can be downloaded at WPR.org. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.